Missouri Township Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, January 24th. Would you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jill, will you do the roll call?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Corr.
Here.
Member Mark Moyer.
Here.
Chairman John Foley.
Here. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I will advise those persons attending that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purposes of providing accurate minutes. In addition, the Board of Supervisors met an executive session to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. Next on our agenda is a visitor and public comment. If you want to address the board, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, please. Seeing none, next on our agenda is the approval of the Board of Supervisors reorganization meeting for January 3rd, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those minutes are unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is the new business. And this will be the first item will be the retirement awards. Mr. Melhorn from the Police Department and Michael Brazell from Public Works. Are those gentlemen here?
You.
I see Mr. Melhorn and Mr. Brazell. Who is that me? I'm going to go down and do a plaque presentation. I'm going to ask Mr. Or Chief Warner to make some offer some comments regarding Detective Melhorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Detective Melhorn recently retired from the Gary Township Police Department. He served a little over 26 years with DTPD. Before that, he was an officer with South Luminary Township. In our department, he started out on patrol, did a little bit of time in the canine unit. His partner's name was Matt, was a patrol narcotics dog. And then I think pretty soon after that, maybe a few years after that, he went over to the Detective Bureau after doing some more patrol in our criminal investigation unit. Dave has been our lead investigator in the area of child-related abuses and crimes for the last several years. It's not an easy job to do, but he's definitely excelled at it, trying to get justice served for his victims. He was also one of the department's polygraphists and also heavily involved in the firearms unit as an instructor in armor. He took the extra time of somebody who needed some instruction, become proficient. He would take that time and help them along in that. So he's had a lot of expertise that he's acquired over the years, and I know it's going to be a challenge to fill that role with somebody. So congratulations, Dave.
And if you want to bring your wife up, she wants to jump in the picture. You didn't bring your kids?
She's been grabbed.
I know. She had the support, and you didn't get the successful on your own.
Yeah. Oh, I'll book her.
Yeah, I'll book that.
Monitoring, as he had a bit of a background in that, and he took care of that for quite a few years out there.
tending to the wells and the ponds and what have you. Excuse me. And he was quite active in our paving crew over the years. Moved up from a truck driver to an operator. Was quite involved in our paving crew and teaching some of the younger guys how the things are done and that. And then in the latter part here, he was primarily in charge of Sparkle as he ran the sweep for a couple number of years, I believe.
Four.
Okay. So he's been a great asset to our department. He's been missed already just in the 3 or 4 months that he's been gone. He managed to make it out before leaf season.
Come on up here. Let's get a picture. Tom, you want to join us?
Thank you both for your service to our community. Greatly appreciate it. Best of luck in your retirement. Next on our agenda is our employee service awards from July through December of 2016. I don't believe any of these members are here, so I'm simply going to read them off. For 5 years of service, Dawn Renner with the library. 10 years of service, Jeffrey Cothran in the library. Kim O'Connell, Parks and Recreation. Glenn Ratchett, Police Communications, Marie Circott, Administration, Barbara Rice, Library. For 15 years of service, Dennis Eckenrode with the Police Department, Ken Shank with the Police Department, Jonathan Cooper with Public Works. And for 20 years of service, Rita Hunt-Smith at the Library, and 25 years of service, Linda Walker with the Police Department. Congratulations to all those employees for their long-term service. Thank you so much. Next on our agenda is item A, 1 through 7, consideration of the adoption of a decision for conditional use request number 2016-2, filed by the Vista Foundation. Mr. Emmerich, this is our topic that was a few the prior hearing.
It is indeed.
And I guess at this juncture, I will ask the board members if there are any additional questions for Mr. Emmerich. Seeing none, is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. Well,
you're in discussion.
Oh,
go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I wonder if you want to consider whether there should be a fence installed or not. Can we have a discussion?
Absolutely.
Any feelings on that? It's something that Mike said that they would be willing to do, and it's provided us as an option in the ordinance. You know, Mike, you put out there that you're working on this. This is not something you guys have dealt completely down pat. It's a work in progress, and you're getting better. But you guys are cutting edge. I recognize that you guys are probably the leaders. But if we had residents in attendance, that it would make the residents feel at all more safe, and it could help with the elopement issue at all. I just, maybe, Mike, even if you want to offer comments, does anyone want to comment on that?
I didn't hear an overwhelming concern about installing a fence, and it's one of those things where if we react and require a fence installation, my concern is that we are then going to get negative feedback on the appearances of the fence, and it, you know, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure we heard an overwhelming desire or need for a fence, and in fact could have some negative consequences by putting a fence up as far as the neighbors are concerned.
I would offer that maybe just keeping those lines of communication open between you and the Vista Foundation and the neighbors, and certainly, you know, from what we heard at the hearing and from what we could assume even before hearing you speak, your goal really is to better the lives of those three, soon to be hopefully four, residents. And you also want to make sure that the neighbors are comfortable as well. So, you know, keep in touch with them, with us. I would think that if the addition of that fourth young man would propose any kind of conflict with the other three residents or wasn't working, that you would remove a resident and not move forward just for the sake of having four people. I mean, you're not benefiting yourself. You're trying to benefit that fourth individual. So I would just suggest to keep those lines open.
There's no economics to having a fourth individual.
The approval of this evening does not preclude us from later requesting that a fence be constructed in the event there's some negative feedback or recommendations are from, right?
So the applicant would need to stay in compliance with all of the requirements of the ordinance. If there appears to be any endangerment of the neighbors, then the board can withdraw the approval. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the board could certainly put a fence in between problems and withdrawal.
And that's the Susan's
What if there's a mechanism by which we simply reserve the right to compel a fence be constructed and still offer the approval? And then it's at our, if there would be difficulties where a fence would be necessitated, then we can compel them to do that.
If that's possible.
I can modify the decision for signature.
I think that would set the process and
sharpen fresh.
Sharpen all over.
Right.
Because what I wouldn't want to do is they introduce a fourth resident there, and then we discover 6 months from now that there is a problem, and then that resident has to be removed or taken from their current living environment. I think that the disruption, the stability is what they're looking for.
Yeah, Mike, can I ask you a question? Do you feel that a fence would at all help the elopement issue?
Not really. Okay. The thing that happens with, there are two ways that you have elopement in this situation. We've watched both of them happen over the years. The first is just an immediate distraction, and there's almost, these are 21, 22-year-old guys, they can jump the fence. It's easy. I mean, a lot easier than you and I can. Mr. Allen, put it that way.
You think about power transfer, so I don't know.
Right.
I've
heard about his workout activity, so maybe he can jump like a 20-year-old, but certainly that's not going to be at all helpful for the immediate distraction issue. The other issue that has come up, we've worked around, which is the non-attention issue, and that one we think we've got nailed down with the card swing situation. So one of the frustrations, I mentioned earlier that we're kind of more heavily regulated than Three Mile Island, and it's only half joking when I say that. But one of the problems is that if we were in New York, we could actually have surveillance cameras. But we can in Pennsylvania, and it's a policy issue. It's not something we're going to change overnight. But we think we've got the attention issue as nailed down as possible to be nailed down. So I think from the elopement standpoint, nobody can ever stop a distraction issue, but an attention issue, we think we got that one pretty tight.
Do you deploy a watchmate system or anything like that?
It's a proprietary system that involves, and I haven't even been in the home since it's been installed, so I haven't even watched it in action. But it involves a clock and a badge swipe. If there's no badge swipe at when the clock hits whatever the magic number is for when the badge swipe, then somebody gets their iPad ringing about land. You know, nowadays it happens. Everybody, we can monitor every facility we have remotely via iPad 24/7. So, you know, something goes off, somebody calls the home and says, "What happened? This didn't happen. It was supposed to happen." So there are procedures in place to address that issue. So that, you know, the reason why we haven't had fences at any of these locations yet is because we haven't seen the utility. But by the same token, you know, if Chuck called me tomorrow and said the supervisors would be more comfortable if you had a fence in the backyard, we put a fence in. And it's just, you wouldn't have to require us, it wouldn't have to be any you know, ordinance or finding or anything official. We want to be good neighbors here. And the same thing, if one of the neighbors said, "Look, we, you know, our kids play in the backyard," and it butts it, we'd be more comfortable if they weren't wandering into your backyard, we'd put a fence there, because that's what we want to do.
Yeah. Trevor, I think your solution is a good solution. You know, we reserve the right to do that in any event, if we can accommodate that.
Sure. Matt made the motion, so are you okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Everyone else okay? Very good. With that noted, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is B1.3, consideration of utility pole removal and acquisition of a portion of the West Caracas Avenue parking lot. Is up on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this item was most recently discussed back in October when you approved the grant contract through DEP for the parking lot reconstruction next to the fire station. That was the project we received $200,000 in grant funding. HRD is currently working on the design, and that project should be bid within the next month and a half, hopefully. So there were two related initiatives that we wanted to consider as we look to pursue financing for the matching requirement. So one is the acquisition of the western portion of the parking lot. The township owns the eastern portion. Currently, the western portion is owned by the Hershey Trust. Figure would be $130,000. The other portion or item for you to consider is the removal of three poles. These were first identified as part of the fire station project, and they're the three easternmost poles that abut the park at Choctaw Square there. The poles, it's my understanding, were taken out of the fire company project with the idea that we would come back and do them at a later time. So before we tear up the parking lot, if that's a project that the board wants to move forward with, you know, tonight's an opportunity to discuss it, and that work really would need to occur in advance of the construction for the lot. So it's a little bit time sensitive in that basically what I'm looking for tonight is direction to continue proceeding this way so that one, we're able to do the polls in advance of the construction of the lot, if that's the board's desire, and then also so that we're able to work with Louis Verdelli to pursue the correct amount of financing for these. Now I will also say that when we went through budgeting, we did a sample debt service schedule. We ran one so that we were able to include in the budget this year the debt service, assuming that all three of these related initiatives move forward. So that figure is in there for this year's budget.
Very good. Are there questions from Mr. Dunbar?
I have a couple.
Lauren, thank you very much, by the way, for getting that grant spreadsheet out there. It looks great. I really appreciate that. Who owns parcel 241649 on the depicted on the final subdivision of land development plan? That's the middle parcel there between the fire station and the parcel.
I believe that's owned by the township.
Okay.
It may be the ICDA, but I'm 97% sure it's township.
The drawing here says Hershey Trust Company.
At that time.
And that's why I'm asking, yeah. So had that changed? And
there was one parcel that's the foundation and another parcel that is the trust.
So we thought that was the ICDA.
The, yeah, I can tell you in just a second here. The, yeah, the eastern part of the parking lot closest to the fire station, I believe, is owned by the township.
Right, the township. And then there's a middle portion there, if you want to call it that, which is 241649, right?
That's what she's saying.
That's what I'm referring to. Correct.
So that is township now?
Yeah, it might be the ICD. I'm 95% sure it's a township.
Okay.
So we'd just be talking about that 2416050.
Right. The land purchase agreement addendum that you provided to us made reference to a resolution authorizing the taking of 2416050 by condemnation. There hasn't been any talk about that, has there, as far as we're concerned? I just saw that in that introductory paragraph there.
So these documents were just received today and reference a date of the end of the year, if that's acceptable to the board. So it's not something that you need to make an immediate decision or take action on in terms of, but, you know, what I'm looking for tonight, you know, unless someone feels differently, is that just sort of an understanding that we want to move forward with these so that we can look to line up the appropriate amount of financing.
And we do not use them in the domain. So we have to have the resolution in order to avoid the building transfer taxes.
So we actually have to go through that resolution referred to
in the
building?
We have to.
Wow. Okay.
I did that in all the other projects.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The parcel under consideration for purchase by the township is 0.34 acres. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
And the price proposed for us to purchase that is $130,000?
Correct.
Lauren, do you know what the fair market value of that parcel is?
My understanding is that there was an appraisal that was done that reflected the $130,000, but I don't have a copy of that.
Okay. I think that might be helpful.
Sure.
To look at. I think the assessed value was $76,000, I think the Dalton County assessment is, and of course, the fair market value is not always, not even close, not close. It's like 1.35, is that the multiplier?
That's the multiplier.
Yeah, that is nothing. So, I
think you have the same understanding. It's my understanding the trust has an appraiser, that or the appraisal was done by the trust, and $130,000
was the value. It was, yes. The trust had an appraisal done on that. Yep.
Right.
Okay. So I just, what I'm a little confused about is, are you asking us to essentially approve what will turn into authorization to borrow $540,000 tonight?
If you decide to move forward with both of these initiatives, right?
Okay.
It's
a move forward. It's not necessarily the actual part because it's just giving her.
Right.
Well, I know, but is it an irrevocable step in that process to the point where if we authorize her to move forward, we are in essence committing ourselves to borrowing $540,000?
That step would need to occur after Lou, does his work and comes back with proposals. So, what I'm looking for is basic direction so that we're able to work with him, and 540, it may be a little bit more than that based on HRG's final design. If they haven't, revised cost opinions, we want to make sure that we're borrowing enough to complete the project. But based on budgetary figures, that's what we'd be looking at.
I understand that there is a step needed to actually agree to borrow that amount of money. My point is, by agreeing to move forward here today, we are, in essence, committing ourselves to that step by moving forward, getting the design drawings done, laying the foundation for all three of these portions of this process.
The design's already in progress, so you already approved moving forward with the parking lot portion of it.
Yeah.
It's just determining if you do want to take the poles out, because those will need to occur in advance of construction, and we're trying to wrap up construction by the end of May. And then if you want to move forward with the acquisition in conjunction with this, since we're going out and borrowing money, it would make sense to roll that in now.
Okay.
So is the parking lot that we anticipate purchasing for $130,000, is that to facilitate fire department operations, or is that something completely different from the fire department?
In part.
In part,
it will facilitate fire company. It's part of the overall parking lot that exists down there now and would be.
There are.
Why are we in this parking lot?
There are some areas of, I think for continuity, if nothing else, but there are, and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that the section that has the pavement that it can accommodate? The fire, the heavier equipment, so it's anticipated that the fire company is going to be utilizing it regularly in there.
I mean, it's part of the design of the fire station.
Sure, it's part, right. part of the design of the fire station, part of the acquisition of the park, mm-hmm. Part of our shared parking agreement, part mm-hmm. of, I mean, it's an integral part of the entire downtown planning.
Okay.
Because this was already approved before, could you just provide, sorry to put you on the spot, like a quick narrative to explain the history of this, just so that all of us are up to speed and everybody in the audience understands it.
Of the entire project?
Well, yeah. We already gave the blessing to move forward with this project, didn't we?
With the reconstruction of the parking lot, mm-hmm. correct. So the parking lot was considered in conjunction with the design for the fire station. And that included some improvements to the parking lot, changing the orientation of the lot, and also the pole removal. Fast forward to, I think, December of last year, and there was a funding opportunity available through DEP for stormwater improvements for BMP implementation. So basically, we were able to work with HRG to identify improvements. We were able to capture a portion of that runoff in the parking lot, turn it into a stormwater best management practice. We were able to secure $200,000 to ultimately put towards that project. The parking lot itself is moving forward through that grant contract and the township's committed match. The two outstanding items are whether or not we pursue the acquisition and wrap in the poles in conjunction with that. Is that helpful? Okay.
So if it's part of an additional parking aspect, isn't that something that the parking garage would conceivably pick up with its excess space?
Not sure I'm following you, I'm sorry.
Well, if it's for the purpose of facilitating additional parking downtown.
I'm not sure if we're gaining space. Are we?
We are.
We might gain a space or two.
I thought there were nine spaces we're at.
And what is the option if we don't do it? Then what happens? We have part of that lot.
We own part.
We own part and the trust owns the part. Owns their
yeah,
part.
We got the grant.
We got the grant, and they needed to provide a letter saying that they were comfortable with us making the improvements to that lot.
I'll get to the pole relocation, but we got the grant for the reconstruction, provided we provide $235,325 of our own money to that grant, right?
To complete the project,
yeah.
Correct.
And.
There's no specific matching requirement with that opportunity, but we have to
right.
complete the project.
And the pole relocation, we're seeking to finance $150,000 for that pole relocation as well?
Roughly, yes. That's based on quotes from 2015 that we assumed a little bit of inflation on.
Right, and 3% off of $138,289 brings us up to about $142,000 and some change, which would leave us, if we borrow $150,000, about $12,000, mm-hmm. some cushion there, because you never know how much overage you're going to get on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was based on my conversation with Greg.
Right.
Thought that was a good
yeah.
figure to be using.
And we've all been there on overruns. So, but I guess one of my questions is the pole relocation. Is there a functional aspect to that? In other words, have those existing poles in their location impeded operations of the firehouse at all?
I can't speak to whether or not they've impaired the function or the operations of the fire department. I can tell you that I believe with the fire station project, there was infrastructure that was put in, assuming that they would be relocated initially. Maybe you can speak
correct.
To that,
yeah, yes. Initially, the poles were to come down. As we tried to refine it, that was not, it then became apparent that it was not part of the fire company project. Those poles actually were on the park ground and part of the property that we acquired as a township. And so the fire company put in the duct bank for the power and such that, so that the poles could be moved, and then our responsibility was to come back and remove those poles and drop those lines that exist there now.
Okay.
So, but those are things that we had all gone through and approved.
And Mark, let me just comment on that quickly. So as I look at it, it's not sort of a functional aspect. It's just, it's more of aesthetics. It's more of town pride, whatever you want to call it, that when the fire department decided that they wanted to keep the fire station there.
Right.
There was a big debate about that.
Yeah, I remember.
And I think in my mind, they won that debate by making the point and also by getting people to buy into the fact that if they put their fire station there, it has to look good. It has to have three fronts, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It has to look good from the park. It has to be integrated into the park. And it has to be something that our town's proud of because it's on one of the main intersections in the whole town. And at that point, it was talked about that that would include making the fire station look beautiful, making sure that the park and the fire station were integrated together, and that includes removing a couple of those poles.
Right. I understand.
Just way to get that on the record.
Yeah, and that's fine. But it is $150,000 worth of aesthetics. That's also so the parking lot reconstruction essentially seeks to finance $235,325 roughly in matching funds, coupled with the $130,000 purchase price. Brings the total debt for the parking area to $365,325. Mm-hmm. $150,000 for the pole relocation brings us up to $515,325. And prospective borrowing would be $540,000, so that's about a $35,000 cushion on top of the $11,000 cushion for the poles for overages.
Yeah, so when the 540 was based on the 2015 numbers when we were considering the utility poles coming down and HRG's preliminary design, so I would anticipate that that might increase slightly as we work with Lou and HRG to kind of tighten up those numbers.
I guess in summary of all this, I understand there is somewhat of a sense of urgency, but I personally would prefer to see $540,000 of borrowing, which over 10 years is going to incur, $100,000 in interest payments?
Mm-hmm, roughly.
On top of that, $100,000 interest payments? I personally, if at all possible, prefer to see this $540,000 expenditure folded into the capital planning process in consideration of other capital expenditures that we are probably going to be looking at in conjunction with significant capital expenditures that may be lurking out there. As well, rather than essentially committing $540,000 in spending, again, on a piecemeal basis. I am advocating for a comprehensive integration of this spending, borrowing, with the other capital projects, and if we have the ability to consider this in the context of all the other capital projects, in terms of scheduling that out, determining whether or not borrowing $540,000 could impede our ability to borrow money on other capital projects. That would be my preferred way to go on this particular endeavor. And I understand that we are involved in the capital budgeting process right now with the forecasts. I just would like to see it approached in that regard.
So this has all been budgeted. All this capital has been budgeted.
I understand.
Yeah. So you're aware.
Well, it's covered by the tax increase. It is.
Right.
Absolutely. So doesn't mean we have to spend it.
Right. So it's all been budgeted, and we've given clear direction to get to this point that this board knows. So what you're saying is you want to reverse and you're not feeling good about these projects anymore.
I'm not saying that at all. Not on the contrary. I'm just saying that although we've budgeted for money, doesn't mean we have to spend money. And I think that in terms of capital projects, we need to look at our capital portfolio of capital projects holistically, of which this is an important component part because of the sheer amount of dollars we're looking at and the amount of money of interest that we're going to pay. I just don't like, I hate to use the word piecemeal, but it's just somewhat of a, it's not being considered with the whole host of other capital projects that are potentially out there that are on our plate, in addition to other capital expenditures that aren't addressed in the tax increase. And I would prefer a holistic view of this.
Can you, what are the whole host of other projects that are out there?
Okay. Well, we have a streetscape for $2,147,220.
Budgeted.
No, these are all
budgeted. Yeah.
Doesn't mean we have to spend that money.
No, it doesn't, but you're saying you want it to be part of a holistic capital
right.
planning project, but I'm saying
exactly.
it has to be part of a holistic capital planning project.
Where? I don't see the forecast. So 3 years, what's our debt service going to be on that? If there's a plan, you should have, maybe you should know, right? 3 years, how much is our capital? How much are you going to spend?
No, you should know. I shouldn't know those numbers off the top of my head.
5 years.
All I'm saying is you're saying that we should have a holistic capital budgeting process, and I'm saying we have absent the rec center.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Where is it?
It was in the budget.
No. Budget is not a capital planning forecasting.
We did a 5-year capital planning exercise.
It's not. We have expenditures for 2017. What about 2019? What about 2020? What's our debt service in 2020? Come on, make a plan. Where is it?
I don't think we have anything committed to memory. I mean,
well, I'm not asking for memory. I'm asking for a plan.
You mean like the one we just did, a 5-year capital budgeting plan?
No,
through budget financial management.
For example, we have $2,147,220 streetscape project on the table. We have a $750,000 322 traffic improvement plan. We have a Middletown Road bike path for $50,000 possible debt service. We have Choctaw Square, maybe funding $15,000. Stouffer's Church Road Project, $415,000. And we have a $540,000 project that this is here. Now, all those projects, admittedly, are potentially covered by our current tax increase.
Not potentially, they've been budgeted.
Okay.
Not potentially. They've
been we only have one budget.
They've been
planned. Which is 2017.
That's right.
Okay. We don't take 2018 to 2025. Okay, so yeah, our debt service for next year might be in the budget. That's where it ends.
Well, and these projects are in that budget and covering that debt service, and the debt service is, or the debt isn't going to go up on these projects. It's going to be incurred, and then it'll be serviced next year. So that debt service isn't going to go up the next year.
For 1 year, we have a plan, and I'm not advocating for more than a 1-year plan on how to pay for this. But I'm not done yet. These are arguably covered by our tax increase, assuming we have the 98% realization rate. At that figure, I think we're probably going to have a surplus. If we fund all these projects, we're probably going to have a relatively little surplus margin. $100,000 a year, maybe, with a $2 million general fund.
With all due respect, Mark, I trust PFM and our accounting department. For
exactly, and that's all I'm asking for. Let's run those numbers with PFM, of which $540,000 should be integrated into that process. I agree. Let's do it. Before we commit to spending $540,000, let's put it into that plan. Because these numbers don't include public works, trucks, equipment that Tom might need in the next couple of years, computer software upgrades that might be needed, body armor and police equipment that might be needed, building improvements and repairs that might be needed, 2.7 in unfunded pension, police pension liability that's out there, $2.7 million on that, which is, as you know, as a finance major, is the only compounding debt we have. It's compounding debt. I think maybe we ought to look at that and plan for that as well. We have issues, you know, that we spoke about with the DEP, radio upgrade, potential soccer field, We have fire trucks that need to be financed perhaps in the next couple of years, and we have sinkhole repairs that could potentially be capital expenditures. These are all unplanned for that are not covered by the tax increase that we just had. And I'm not even talking about the rec center. That's a completely different topic, Tony. So I'm just looking for a plan that we can integrate this $540,000 worth of spending into, so that we can look at what this expenditure is, what our debt service is, whether we want to fund certain aspects of it or not, depending on how much debt service we can assume compared to our tax revenues, which we haven't even realized yet based on the tax increase.
Are there any other comments from the supervisors? Hearing none, is there a motion for direction and consideration for the utility pole and acquisition of the portion of the West Cracks Avenue parking lot?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second it. And with that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And all those opposed?
Nay.
Nay. And
I have a question. I know it's too late to ask this, but out of respect for what Mark is saying, Jim, is there anything that we haven't done that we should have done or that we should do in our planning?
No, one thing I want to bring up about consolidating this, the streetscape, the 322, the culvert, we were trying to get a DCIB loan, for infrastructure repair. Those other costs cannot be integrated with that particular loan because they don't qualify under DCIB. So that's why we tried to go and put this $540,000 with the 2.1 million for the streetscape, but DCIB will not allow that. So we are actually looking, perhaps, if we don't go to DCIB, go to another form of loan where we can consolidate the $540,000 with the streetscape and the culvert. That's the only thing I can add. We did look at this, but that's the reason they were separated. One is the DCIB, and one was the doesn't qualify for DCIB.
What are you proposing that we do that hasn't been done? I mean, this is
develop your capital spending plan.
But why has that? If that's an issue, why has that not been done in your tenure or anybody else's tenure on the board? If that's something that is needed to make these decisions, and I'm not disagreeing that that's a great tool to have, why has that not been done? I mean, has this board in the past not already done things like that so that we can make those wise?
The JPM initiative, I thought was, PFM, was a wonderful initiative. I think it really brought home where we are from a more holistic viewpoint. Where we are in terms of our general fund, and why we needed a tax increase, because we could no longer continue to borrow from the general fund in order to pay our debt service. I think that report crystallized financial condition of the township in terms of capital spending and capital borrowing. Now, we may or may not be judged one way or another about what we did in the past. We sure as heck are going to be judged of how we, armed with what we know now, how we spend in the future.
I'm not judging, I'm just asking.
I know. But we will be judged on how, armed with what we have now, how we're going to spend in the future. And I think we need to actually set out capital spending, capital finance plan with all of these capital projects so that we can have an open dialogue about what projects we think are likely. We can group them based on priorities. We can then figure out through the planning schedule, you know, what our real debt service will look like so that we can compare that debt service to the revenue income to determine what sort of surplus, if any, we have, and based on that surplus, how we can allocate that surplus, such as retiring some of the police pension unfunded liability, or perhaps replenishing our general fund up to a level. Because frankly, if we're going to need to borrow $20 million or whatever for a rec center, we're going to need our credit rating to be maxed out. And in order to do that, we're going to need to max out our general fund. So that's going to be a very high priority as well. And I'm just very concerned that moving forward, that we may not be able to grasp all of these projects and prioritize those projects and have a real firm visual grasp of our debt service compared to anticipated revenue on a year-by-year basis, so that we can, to the best of our ability, forecast for both known capital projects and hopefully plan for some contingencies for some of those unforecasted.
And I don't disagree with that. I don't think anybody in this room would disagree with that. Cheryl, sorry to put you on the spot. Have we not done that with our projects, Lauren? Maybe you could chime in as well. I feel like some of these things have already been in the works and are pretty far down the pipe. So that's why I'm questioning, you know, how much we can reevaluate some of these projects, because we've committed to them and we've budgeted for them. I know that doesn't mean we have to spend money, but I'm just curious, you know, with the tools that we have in front of us with BFM, haven't we done some of this work already?
Maybe Cheryl can chime in on what's been done, and then I can kind of talk a little bit about the timing of these projects in particular.
For 2017, we have looked at the projects that have been mentioned, the parking lot, the relocation, the streetscape, and they are budgeted for 2017. As far as doing anything from like 2018 and on, nothing like that has been at least put on paper and shown to people. We know that when we budget each year that these are there, but we don't always have exact numbers, we don't have the exact financing schedules. Once we have them, especially for the bond payments, those are factored into the budget. They are part of the one page in the budget, you know, where we show all of our bond debt.
Yeah. And sure, so we've never done that, right?
We've
never looked out multi-year and put together capital plans, right?
In the past, we've requested the departments come up with a five-year plan, mm-hmm. so that we know what we're looking for coming up, you know, in future years.
Okay.
That the most recent five-year plan just ended, so we would be asking the departments this year to do that again for the next few years. What are you looking for in terms of replacing vehicles, you know, computer upgrades, day-to-day maintenance on the buildings, if you're aware of that. So we will be asking the departments for that moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's hard to know exact numbers.
Right. So in the past year, though, do you feel like we've made a lot of progress in terms of our processes and pulling together multi-year? I mean, the BFM,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and that was never done before, right? Like prior boards and... Right.
Not to the extent that this board is doing it.
Right.
I think I agree with Mark. The tool from PFM was an excellent choice.
Okay, so we're making good progress in terms of our processes.
Yes.
And we also worked to eliminate $7 million of guarantee off our books last year.
Right.
So that's going to help with our credit rating as we move forward with these projects as well.
It should.
Yeah, okay. And the other thing I would say is that a lot of these things that you're talking about, Mark, are decisions that, you know, going through that capital planning process, I mean, those are all subjective decisions that we have to, it could take a very long time. I mean, for instance, fire trucks. We're not going to decide today whether we're replacing fire trucks in 2 years. I mean, these are all very complicated decision-making processes that we're not going to be, it's going to take a long time, and there's decisions that need to be made there. We can't make decisions today that bind the future boards that spend on fire trucks there.
I'm not asking for anything binding. I'm asking for some a modicum of planning.
A what?
A modicum
of planning.
Which is what we made tons of progress on this past year. And frankly, he's saying we'll be judged by future. I'll stop there.
So, how could we, for example, forecast out this debt for the next however many years, not knowing what some of the other projects are that are coming up that would also be running concurrent? Not a math person here, so that's why I'm asking you the question.
The tool from PFM allows us to go in and say, okay, if we want to do this, how much will it cost? Unfortunately, the financing, they take the, if it's $10 million over 10 years, they're going to break it out $1 million each year, which is not realistic, but at least it gives you an idea. With PFM, we can go in and say, okay, if we want to do this year, this is how it's going to affect our debt service. And then next year, we want to do something else. So we put that in as an example. And then it will keep track of everything, show us each year as this is how our debt's increasing, but then as old debt service starts to come off, you'll see those numbers.
Right, I remember when you demoed it. That was terrific.
And then when I asked John about the amortization schedule, I think we might be able to come up with more finite numbers as they change as well, based on that. So that was why 2 weeks ago when I brought up the amortization schedule requirements, and John said that's not a problem, and it isn't, that rather than just breaking it into 10 equal amounts, that type of amortization schedule could actually be inserted into the PFM model and give us even more finely tuned forecast.
This is, I think, definitely a work in progress. I mean, it seems like we have more information now than maybe we have, in prior years.
Yeah.
So that's great.
And then we
can work to have more information.
Absolutely.
However, if we've committed to doing something already, I hate to see us stop for the sake of stopping if we can gather that information while we're continuing to function. So I don't know what's involved in plotting out, what you're suggesting, and I don't know how that impacts what you're suggesting. So maybe you could talk about the timetable a little bit more.
Sure. So the the intent for the construction of the parking lot is to try to have that wrapped up in advance of downtown Hershey event season. So we're looking to do that in the spring of this year, thinking that we would be able to get some better pricing if we try to wrap it into the fall. I believe that grant contract concludes in June of 2018. So if we don't do it this spring, we're really pushing ourselves in terms of trying to fit that within the grant contract realistically. I would need to confirm that ending date. But I think kind of in the grand scheme of things, a lot of the projects that we're talking about, the parking lot, the board has approved. HRD is already working on the design. You guys are wrapping up the design. Streetscape, same thing. I mean, we've already submitted the HOP. We're finalizing design there. We're waiting to go through comments. So it's kind of challenging just to put the brakes on all of those initiatives right now. And I think based on the tools that have been in place, I've been able to work with Jim and with Cheryl to get those figures in the budget, based on the tools we have in place right now. I definitely agree that I think the spreadsheet and the modeling capabilities that we have now in conjunction with Cheryl collecting the information from the departments, will undoubtedly help you to prioritize projects and look at developing, what you want that to look like 5 years out. And then in conjunction with that, will be helpful to me as I see what other funding opportunities might be out there. From my perspective, I would say, just based on the timing of where these projects are, I feel like we've been able to incorporate them into the tools that we have. And it would be, it's always harder and more costly to stop and start things. So I would recommend moving forward.
And you two of you are not comfortable doing that?
Well, I've realized that the telephone poles back there have been ugly for about a year. And I would love to see them changed. But is, that money spent best removing telephone poles for aesthetic purposes? The trust owns that property. Are they willing to partner with us and keep the property and allow us to fix it up? Do we have to own it?
They've signed up on the improvements, but I can't speak to their position beyond that. I mean, I know that they're interested in having the township acquire it.
One of our initiatives has been, in fact, to secure as much parking as we can for the continued redevelopment of the downtown. And that was one of the initiatives that was tied into the fire station project and also the acquisition of the park. So, again, this has been a 3 or 4 year process, and this is the last component. It's unfortunate that it's being break, I guess is the best way to describe it.
It's a direction that has been desired by our residents. So for 15, 20 years, no longer than that, since 1991, people said, what are you doing about the downtown? Year after year goes by, nothing gets done. And so finally, we have leaders and a board who are taking matters in their own hands. We're not waiting for everybody else to do things here downtown. And we plan projects based on a survey that our residents responded to. And we're responding to what I believe our residents want. And that, what we're looking at right here is just a step in that process.
If you were to do what Mark is suggesting, which I don't think any of us disagree that's a bad idea, but it's a very good idea, is that information alone going to put us in a better position in 2 weeks to make a decision? Or are we really,
not a 2 week process.
Or are we really, debating over the merits of whether we want to finish this parking lot the way we've been discussing?
Susan, one thing that Mark brought up was fire truck. What are the chances that all of us are going to agree on when we replace fire trucks? That could take months or a year or 2 years, and we may never agree when we think we should replace fire trucks. So how some of this...
I'm sorry, was I not at the meeting just a few minutes ago? Apparently not. We just gave you an update that we had a meeting with the fire company.
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to get an update on that, right?
Yeah. Okay. In fact, there's still a disagreement as to when you buy fire trucks.
Okay.
What, you don't think there can be disagreements as to why?
No, I think there can be, but if we need them, we need them.
No, that's not how it works, Mark. I mean, people have different opinions as to useful life and when fire trucks get replaced. So my point is there could be a lot of debate as to capital projects in the future. It's not a two-week process. It's a very long, prolonged process.
Yeah, at what point do you at what point could we have something with the tool that PFM has provided that would help give us guidance so that every time we get to another project, I mean, when it comes time to pull the trigger on the Middletown Road crossing or the Wood Road crossing, we don't have this debate again, because I feel like as a board, we've had consensus in moving forward with some of these projects. So I don't want to sit here week after week and debate things we've already argued over, but I understand that it is good to have a good holistic view of things. Knowing that that's fluid and ever changing, and what we may forecast for 2019 tonight is going to change multiple times before we get to 2019. But at what point would we have a tool that we could actually forecast out at least 5 years so that we could feel better? Not that we all have to agree, but certainly not agreeing right now, but that we could be in greater consensus about these projects that we're moving forward with.
Joe, how can she answer that question when we have to determine what goes into that plan? They can put the spreadsheet together, but we as a board have to determine what goes into that plan.
Well, and how do we do that?
You might be able to consider working with PFM to see if they could prepare a capital improvements plan that looks 5 years out, using the tools that we have in place through the spreadsheet, working with the departments to identify priorities. However, that is a planning process that would take some time, and I don't foresee that happening.
That's the first step. Finding out what these initiatives are anticipated to cost, how we would finance those, and then insert those forecast numbers into the planning tools that we have.
I think it could be a good tool to look at projects going forward, but I do think that there are a lot of things that are already underway that you'd be able to then roll into that.
Well, I'm separate from this issue. I would like to suggest, if it's all right, that perhaps a small committee of us work with Cheryl and Lauren and PFM to work toward that, that we can have that as a tool. I mean, that's why we enlisted the help of PFM, so that we could better forecast and be better stewards and plan better.
Do I suggest 2 weeks ago?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just hate to see us, we've spent 45 minutes talking about something that I thought we were all pretty much
this is kind of
on board with. So I would like to move forward with that so that we can build greater consensus and not belabor things that I think we're all in theory in favor of, but I don't want us to keep getting stuck. It's like it doesn't have a budget. You know, can we go on vacation this summer? I don't know. What if the plumbing breaks? I mean, we don't have any way to really guess what's going to happen, but we can certainly forecast out what we do know. So I just, if it's possible, I'd like to suggest that we have a group could be working toward that so that we can move forward without.
The group of people is this group of people who has to agree on spending capital in the future.
But the first step to know is coming up with these projects as a tool, as a tool, and then maybe the use of the word plan. My use of the word plan means the first step, coming up with the forecast tools. That is my definition of a plan. Then using that tool to determine what we want to do and when we want to do it. Okay.
Forgive me, the tool is in place, right?
Yes.
The tool is in place. The decisions are what we need, not the tool. So this five-member board needs to agree and disagree on when things get spent in the future to put into the tool that's already in place.
What you can do with the tool, excuse me, is you can put any project you're thinking of can be put in this tool. And then it's just a check mark, turns it on
right.
As far as
so, Cheryl, sure, you're not going to put the project in, right? You're going to look to this board
right.
To tell you
can
what
tell
project.
Tell me what project.
Sure, that's what we right. Facilitate that
and,
somehow.
And this board is simply providing direction to staff on taking next steps to more solidify those initiatives that are before us, that the consensus has been given to move forward, and here we are.
That are already underway.
So I would call it the tool is in place. Mark, you made some good points about us being more intentional about our capital planning. However, we've got certain things in process that we've all agreed to. We've all incrementally endorsed along the way, and I guess I would be in favor of continuing to move forward with this project and also working with capital plan.
And I simply don't subscribe to the idea that because we've spent some money on a project already that we should go and spend a whole lot more on that without first having that project evaluated in the context of it.
Okay, so let's go forward.
Someone's looking at me.
I have two yeses and two noes, so if I request your vote.
Well, I'm going to give you my vote with an explanation. I don't want to interfere with this project because it's something we've all agreed to do and move forward with, and I believe in the project, so I'm voting yes. But I do also support that we better use that BFM tool because there's no sense in it sitting on your computer if we as supervisors aren't telling you what to put in it, so we can look forward and see how does one thing impact the other. So I would like to suggest that a smaller group of us work together to try to make sure we push that tool to the limits to see what we're doing, and moving forward we can make decisions with greater success.
Thank you, and I would request that I be on that small group, and I would think that every one of this board would want to be on that small group because these are board decisions to decide what we're having to do.
Someone's got to organize that.
Yeah. We gather and look at projects, each and every one as they come up, and we plug them into the spreadsheet, evaluate them, and we progress with that.
Yeah.
This is a direction. With that vote, it is a 3-2 to proceed, Lauren.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is C1, consideration of a community survey to gain input on township initiatives and priority projects. Summer.
Thank you. So this item is really to give the board an opportunity to discuss the potential of moving forward with and finalizing and conducting a community survey. So the last community survey, Dairy Vision Survey, was conducted in the fall of 2011 in conjunction with the update to the comprehensive plan. It collected demographic information and opinions about issues and assets associated with living in Dairy Township, and it also asked people to indicate preferences for certain public improvements and transportation priorities. The idea would be that, you know, it's been several years, is now a good time to conduct another survey, you know, building off of the one that was in place previously. So really just looking for discussion and direction if the board would choose to move forward with that.
Are there any questions or comments from the board?
I think it's always good to periodically take the pulse of the residents to see what they're in favor of to help us make sure we're moving in the right direction.
Survey is only as good as the questions being asked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Those people want all kinds of wonderful things. Right up to the point where they're asked whether they'd be willing to pay for them and how much they're willing to pay for them. I'm not sure that the current survey had that question. Yeah, if you want people downtown, are you willing to pay two more mills in taxes for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the survey, the proposed survey will have those types of questions. And I think that given the debate that we just had about how we should direct capital in the future, I think that the survey, it's timely. The last one was done 5 or 6 years ago. And I think it makes a lot of sense to do this and to gain a lot of valuable information from it.
We're also going to have to figure out a way to maximize resident response.
That's right.
Sure. Somehow. Get a wide cross section of this township if we move forward with that.
Correct. And I would offer that all of us should be involved in that, in reviewing it and helping to disseminate it, making sure that it's a secure survey that people can answer one time only. So I support it, and I think we should have further discussions so that we can move forward with something we're all after.
With that, I will entertain a motion to provide direction to Lauren to proceed. Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that directs it.
Oh, Scott, yeah, real quick one. On that, is there going to be a budget impact on that? What do you anticipate any cost in the surveys?
Well, personally, I mean, just like we speak of professionalism.
How much are you going to bill it? How much are you going to bill it?
Nothing.
Good.
I'm just kidding. That wasn't funny. No, I do surveys at work all the time, and there are three survey tools out there that you can have a lot of security, so it would really just all of our volunteer time and staff time and putting together the survey.
Excellent.
I think we can do is at no cost other than staff time.
Good. Very good. Next on our agenda is D1 through 3. Approval of disposal costs at Susquehanna Resource Management, previously the Harrisburg Incinerator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We received notification from Waste Management as well as the Susquehanna Resource Management Facility that they'll be increasing their tonnage $5 per ton for disposal of solid waste material at the Harrisburg facility. This is estimated to cost about $6,420 to the residential curbside customers within the township. However, Waste Management will not be passing this cost along to the individual residents for the first quarter as we're bidding the solid waste contract to start the second quarter. Its 5-year period has run its course and that's now up to be rebid. However, they will pass a 25 cent per cubic yard increase along to the multifamily residential users. So we're recommending approval or
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Are there any questions from board members? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is approved unanimously. Next on our agenda is E1 through 5, approval of a new job description for facility maintenance technician, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Currently, we have a person and have had a person dedicated to the facilities since we moved into this complex a number of years ago. That individual is responsible for daily repairs and activities within the building to keep it functioning, as far as painting, repair of hinges, locks, closures, toilets, doors, things of that nature. And as the facility ages, it's of course requiring a little more attention. So we've had an individual in this position doing this work for a number of years. And in this job description, I'm seeking to better clarify what he does and give a little more formality to that position. It's not a new position. It's not an increase in pay for anyone. This would be at an operator's rate, same rate as an operator would be in the public works department. So there's no budget impact to this and no additional personnel as a result of this job description.
Very good. Are there questions for Mr. Clark? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that job description is approved unanimously. Next on our agenda is F1-4, consideration of the release of a portion of the performance security for the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for the Miller Restaurant, plat number 1267. Mr. Emmerich, that's housekeeping.
It is.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is approved unanimously. Next is G1-2, authorization to advertise an ordinance amending the code of the Township of Derry. Ordinance number 553, chapter 210-24, stop intersections established by establishing a multi-way, three-way, stop sign control intersection at the intersection of Cherry Drive and Hope Drive. Chief Warner.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This is a revisit of this agenda item for advertisement. First time it was brought up was after a premature posting of the intersection, and there was some discussion on whether the study had fully vetted all aspects of the intersection, how it would be affected by the multi-way stop. We had HRG go back, look at some more things, and they actually added queue length, which would indicate how far back the cars would be queued in line while they're in the process of stopping and moving through the intersection, and also what the average delay would be for those vehicles in those queues. All those study material that they provided falls within parameters. Shouldn't cause undue delay through the intersection. I knew there was some concern initially when the signs were prematurely put up, but I think a lot of it had to do with all of a sudden the signs were there and people having to try to figure out what was going on, get used to that idea of having to stop at that intersection in the through what was previously the through highway. And navigating those turns and those stops, I think once this is established and can be navigated in a proper manner and people get used to it, I think it'll flow a little bit more smoothly. And it is only the first step in trying to ease some of that congestion in and around 322 in Cherry, 322 in Fishburne, and Hawkinsville. So this is just a first step in a short term development for a long-term plan.
Very good. Are there any questions for the chief? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that authorization is approved unanimously. Next on our agenda will be board correspondence, board committee information. To my left, Mr. Moyer. Mr. Weir.
Yes, I attended a very Township Municipal Authority meeting last night, and they made great progress on the stormwater project. They have the Corps of Engineers helping us on an ongoing basis map the stormwater system in Derry Township. And they will be putting the bills out for the stormwater fee this week.
Very good. I had, Mr. Nagley and I have continued to meet with the new leadership of the fire company. In our presence this evening is the president, Patrick Rubisil, and the new vice president, David Sassman, new face sitting at the tables. So we continue to work with them on on various initiatives, fire apparatus being one of them, and we look forward to working with each of you as we continue to help enhance and grow the volunteer department.
Ted, at least one, but it seems like more Parks and Recreation meetings in the last couple of weeks, and there's some exciting things happening in the township, which I'll let Matt talk about. But great things happening in the spring that I think our residents are going to be really excited about. So thrilled to see all the good things that are coming once the weather turns. Also, as a board, we've all received a number of letters, emails actually, from residents questioning the township's costs that were incurred from the two times that now President Trump visited Derry Township. And all of us have looked into this, Mr. Negley, and Chief Warner was able to reply, and simply anybody jump in here if I'm missing anything. But my understanding that that's all part and parcel of what townships do when there is either an elected official or a candidate who comes through the town, regardless of the candidate's party, and that's just aid and assistance that you provide, no different than throughout the years what Jimmy Carter King said back in 76.
I was here in 76 when President Carter came. Actually, he was a nominee at that particular time. I went through the chocolate plan with H.W. Bush. We had Coretta Scott King here. We had just had the Governor Wolf's inauguration. We didn't bill for. We've never billed for any type of activity. Second of all, I want to make it very clear that the Trump campaign did not request our presence. We were requested by U.S. Secret Service, and we always partner with our law enforcement associates. So we've never charged before.
And I did just. Out of curiosity, called PSAP, the Pennsylvania Association of Township Supervisors, and they said that townships can't bill for these things. It's just sort of part, again, of your obligation to keep your community safe and help and step up and help other law enforcement officials. And then, I guess, secondarily, there's some economic benefit from having these kinds of rallies. Of course, we can't necessarily measure that, but hopefully that helps to offset whatever costs are incurred in the township. So I just wanted to, for the record, make sure that I think we have maybe eight emails, something like that, over the last week. Asking all the same questions. So rather than respond to all of them individually and have all five of us respond to them, I thought just to get it on the record that we did look into it and that this is a fact policy. That's it. Thank you.
Mr.
Ray. We've talked about it many times, and I even mentioned earlier in this meeting, but we did, the ICDA completed the refinancing of the intermodal transfer facility a couple days before Christmas. We settled the $7 million guarantee from the township we removed, and AGNR took on that guarantee. And in that, part of that refinancing was we created approximately $11 million of reserves that would be able to be used for improvements to the ITF and the Giant Center. So it's complete.
Thank you. Next up will be our reports. Chief Warner.
We only have one thing to note. It's actually a tentative rollout of a program that the police department is going to be participating in. It's a national program. It's actually endorsed by the Department of Justice. It's called Coffee with a Cop. We're going to tentatively roll this out Thursday, February 9th in the Pantry Cafe at the Hershey Story. Has been gracious enough to host this for us. And it's basically, we will have some officers available, and anybody from the public that wants to come in, sit down, stand up, have a cup of coffee with an officer. They just want to talk about day-to-day activities, family lives, things like that, or if they want to bring forth some ideas or some concerns to the officers, they'll be able to do that at that time. It's sort of a way for us to break bread with the community and have some close and personal interaction with those folks. So this was brought up by one of our detectives. He saw it work in another jurisdiction down in Lancaster County, and so we're going to try to roll that out and participate in that also. That's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Sassman with the fire company.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I'd just like to say thank you
to everyone, and John kind of stole my thunder there.
Sorry about that,
Patrick, but that's okay.
I've been accused of that.
So I do echo your remarks, and I thank you, Patrick, and I both look forward to working with the township along this whole year. Give me a brief update for December. We responded to 73 fire calls. For the year, that total is about to 790. I will be getting to each of you an end-of-year report, which will highlight the entire department's events, and that's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome, David.
Yes, welcome, David. Mr. Clark, Public Works.
I don't think I have anything, and nobody mentioned the S word.
Mrs. Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I distributed before the meeting something for each of you up there at the DOS. The library has initiated its PR campaign for this month, and you'll be seeing our library logo on several things. The Sun News did an article for us this past week, came out with it. It also has our logo. You'll be seeing more of that, and you'll be seeing more of us. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Ms. Alonso, administration?
I have nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mandia.
Very quickly, Susan had mentioned a couple projects that we are going to be rolling out this spring. Once again, the Cocoa Castle Playground will be having a grand opening once the weather breaks, as well as the R. Shank Park Disc Golf Course. Both opening the spring. In addition to that, I just encourage folks to check out the website for a full offering of programs for all ages, and we have a great spring lineup coming as well.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bonanno, HRG.
So some updates on the projects. We have some movement over the past month. On the parking lot BMP project, we are currently designing that, preparing the big documents. We submit to Laura here in a week or two for your review, make sure everything is copacetic with the final design changes, and then put out the bid in February for schedule there. On the Middletown Road crossing on January 4th, Chris Brown sent an email over to Jeff Lee at Wabak Associates with all the information he requested. So that is on his plate right now. I've not heard a response from that January 4th email. And also Matt Mandia reached out to Madison Heights at the same date, letting them know that we're back on, hopefully scheduled with getting both those easements for that crossing. So
I talked to Jeff King this morning, and it's been a long time since we contacted him, since we've been in touch. So we wanted to talk. We should probably talk after the meeting. That's the next steps there.
Okay, great. And then on the Wood Road crossing, on the 20th here, Tim Anderson sent a draft amendment to John Yost and I for review. So I know that is on Ken Call's plate to look at hopefully this month yet.
Which one was that?
That was the Wood Road crossing of Oakmont.
Right. Okay. I thought him. What's the latest with that? It's in process, right? It's okay.
Yeah, John and Matt got it.
Okay, and then the easement on Applebee's is also expected within a week or two. Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Elmer.
Months ago, we began the official map process. We had a public hearing. We heard a lot of comment. I think at this point, we've changed the official map so much that we're going to abandon that prior hearing and begin the process back through the Planning Commission and on to the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
I'm tentatively scheduling a hearing on that April 11th, April 25th. I know that's a ways out, but that's kind of how we plan things here.
Schedule.
Either or.
What's going to be done differently this time in terms of energy?
And will we have an opportunity to view it first?
Yes, thanks. We'll have an opportunity to view it first. We'll try and hit all of our media sources.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And we'll have less trails, less water.
We'll have less trails.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So I have.
Thank you, sir. This is Umbro, Economic Development.
Thanks. Just a quick note that the TIF committee met on January 17th. At this point, we don't have the next meeting scheduled. Those meetings are open to the public. Coming out of that meeting, the next step is that the developers and PFM are going to be refining some numbers, and I believe meeting with the school board. And I anticipate that there may be a presentation to the board in the future as well. Just one other note, and that is the Downtown Hershey Association received a premier project award from the Dauphin County Commissioners and Dauphin County Planning Commission in the community capacity care category for implementation of the Downtown Master Plan. So great work that folks are doing downtown.
Thank you. Mrs. Henry?
Nothing, thank you.
Mr. Nagler?
No.
Very good. Next on our agenda is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $609,241.11 and payroll in the amount of $336,181.46. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And they are approved unanimously. Next is our final visitor and public comment. Please come to the podium, state your name and address, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Jay Zimmer, 971 Bullfrog Valley Road. Chuck, you talked about the map. What about Ordinance 126? Are you going to abandon that as well, the way it's worded? Or are you planning on keeping that with it?
That's worded for the MPC, so that's going to probably stand fairly consistent the way it's worded.
So it has to stay that way, even the way it's worded about taking of land and so forth?
We could just reference the MPC, which gives you all those rights. I think it's best to put it right in our ordinance.
Okay. All right. The other question I had, I was here in November and asked about Bullfrog Valley Road. Will it make the budget? Did it being repaved?
The repaving or the I know that we are working on a capital project for the reconstruction. I don't believe we plugged that in at this point for paving.
That road hopefully to be cored this week yet.
Okay.
To know that road as well as Sand Hill, to know exactly what's involved in reconstruction.
You're talking about totally redoing
it? That's reclamation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're still working on that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Mr. Gamble, I just want your voice. Come right up.
Hey, can't miss the day. Okay, sorry I'm late. It's interesting to hear the dialogue tonight, and I missed the total number of parking spaces that this $500,000 project is going to cost. How many spaces are we looking at? Can anybody give me that number? Developer?
There's a total of 119 yeah. spaces there.
How many?
Total of 119 spaces.
119 parking spaces. Okay. If you think that's a good investment, go for it. But the thing, could have this went forward if we didn't raise the taxes last time? If the taxes weren't approved and raised to the level they are today, would we be sitting here moving this project forward? No. So these projects that you have planned, and we're going back to your terms, years, 2 years ago when this all dream came about, kept moving, but the money didn't move until you passed the tax increase. And I have to agree with Mark saying, you know, there's going to be things that happen. We need another hurricane come in here and wipe out this building. Who's going to pay for that? Now, there's things you don't know. And when you sit and say about take 5 years to drive a fire truck, I think that would be the first priority, Justin. I don't think if somebody takes 5 years to decide on upgrading a piece of fire equipment, they're in the wrong business. And another thing, you all five of you attended the TIP meeting on the 17th, and I didn't hear anybody report that you went there. Since you all five appeared, I would consider that a meeting that needed to be documented. Minutes.
It was a public.
It was a public meeting. And minutes
it was public, but you all five attended. So are minutes going to follow now?
Yes, there are minutes.
Okay, I just want to make sure they would come, because you said last time that there would be minutes, and I just didn't see them yet.
And the press is there as well.
Okay. And thirdly, I want to talk about the downtown. Now, John, you and I both know that every time you talk to the press, you're all excited. Wonderful things, Hershey Trust, and everything Hershey's going to do is good. I'm behind that, too. I think that's great. Susan, your dream is to make the great downtown. We know you're behind it. You started the organization to get this and move it. We understand that. We recognize that. And Justin, you have business downtown. you're behind this, you were big on this big TIF thing, let's hurry up, get this thing rolling, let's get this post office done. We don't want it sitting here. What did it do? It's still sitting here. The big rush to move forward. You know, this town downtown sat 20 years. There was no big rush. So maybe, you know, when I talk about conflict of interest, you can put yourself in that position, how other people are looking at this. John, every time you have an interview, you have great, you love what Hershey's going to do. You love this, you love that, you love this. I've yet to hear you vote no against anything Hershey's going to do. Susan, you're new. I appreciate what your interests are downtown. But I think one of the survey questions that Mark brought up is very important. Let's ask the people again, how much are we willing to sacrifice and spend? Right now, waste management's going up again. Most of these people got, what, $8, I think, on their Social Security. Most of the people in this town depend on Social Security. There goes a chunk of that Social Security. You already took it with a tax increase on the property and everything else. School taxes going up. How much more do you expect these people to give up? Maybe you need to start looking at sending another survey out and ask the people, from here on forward, I mean, you got that parking lot, here on forward, maybe we should get the downtown approval and let the people say, how much were we willing to spend? Is that agreeable? I mean, does that make sense? I would think it would be. The survey, well, nobody ever talked about the cost.
Mr. Gable, that's going to be part of the survey, and the people that you're singling out here are really interested in doing the survey.
Yeah.
So you're preaching to the choir. But want feedback.
Where was the question about how much are you willing to increase your
that
tax?
That was 5 or 6 years ago. We weren't responsible.
Well, let's do it now. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah,
let's do it now. And maybe before you go forward with some of these projects, maybe we should put it to a vote on a referendum. If we have an election, let's do it. Maybe we get some better guidance, better understanding, and know where our elected people that represent us feel the same as we do and not have our own interest involved. Because like I said, it really does have a ton of conflict of interest here. And I'm just bringing it from my impression of what I'm seeing, what you're involved with downtown, your comments, starting the first post office project, saying, you know, anybody else would have to go through the whole deal, you know, come up with a plan, everything else, walk through it. You said, let's give them a shortcut. You did. Look what had happened. You know, is that because they were depending on the TIF? I don't know. Nobody seems to want to answer that. If this TIF doesn't go through, is this developer going to give us what he showed us? One or two? I understand there was other designs that weren't offered at that meeting. The guy sitting here was saying, well, you got to move quick. It's this or that. Well, for a $4 million parking garage, and somebody's investing all that money into building, what was it, scenario A or option A? And you mean to tell me you can't find somebody come up with $2 extra million that you're requesting for this TIF to build a parking garage? And we're going to end up with something unknown yet, a little block in the corner? Something tells me better look at it a little bit quicker.
Mr. Campbell, I certainly appreciate you coming to all these meetings, and you are a staple in this room as not only at Board of Supervisors meetings, but at pretty much every public meeting, and you have very intelligent comments to share, and I hope you appreciate that we are all doing our best as elected officials to make the right decisions. When things fail, sometimes it's not the fault of the supervisors. The post office project failing is not the fault of the supervisors, and we are all trying to do the best and represent you and all the other constituents in this township to the best of our ability. So we appreciate your patience as we try to work things through, and the questions that you ask, we try to come up with answers for you as best we can.
Okay, and addressing the issue about failures, not knowing. Why did you have so much confidence in these people to go ahead and let them start this project without submitting from step A to B and C and complete
it? Yeah, Mr. Gamble, that's not something that I have control over. We're governing by that. It titles property. We don't
but
find
you it. Commented about let's move it forward. Let's not work for the full land development plan.
Mr. Gamble, are you talking about the first project?
Yes, the first project.
I didn't say let's move it forward. Developers come to us.
You most definitely did. You said let's let them get started so it doesn't sit there for a long time.
Hang on. Come on, guys. This is a visitor. It's a visitor and public comment.
And
you're allowed to make your comments.
It's a comment.
Well, it's becoming very accusatory.
I sent you an email about it, and we discussed it.
When you send me emails, I reply to them, and I appreciate you being a fiend. I appreciate you. I consider you a friend. I'd like to talk to you. But, yeah, you have come to the microphone today with fairly accused of.
Well, I'm just saying what the word on the street is. You know, how much more can we be taxed? Okay? Again, like I said, if this tax didn't go through that you voted on, would this project be on the table tonight? It wouldn't have been funded because they are depending on that tax in order to do these projects you're talking about. And how fast do we have to move downtown? Let's slow it down a little bit. And I think, Matt, you came up with a good idea. Partnering with the Hershey Trust. What are they going to do with that land? We can benefit from it. They can benefit. Why not get a partnership sharing here? You know, save that. Let them, you know, we'll pay for to get rid of the telephone poles. Let them give us the property, share the property, or come in on half the cost. It benefits them too because they have options downtown. They have interest downtown. So maybe that's, we have to explore that a little bit more on partnering with the trust. Maybe that's something we ought to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. Is there a motion to it? Is there anyone else?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Go. We're adjourned.